We'll put that over there for a little bit. I think I've mentioned this before when I've been here. The first Sunday in October is Bible Sabbath. We call it in the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Denomination. In the old days, our folks used to speak of Sunday as Sabbath. Of course, in the Jewish calendar, that would be Saturday. But anyway, we still like to call this first Sunday in October Bible Sabbath when we give our attention to God's holy word. So today, I'd like for us to turn to... Oops, I got in the wrong... Somebody moved my bookmark. Must have been me. I'd like for us to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Listen to God's word. The Spirit says that in the later time, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Let us again thank God in our prayers. Father God, we again thank Thee for Thy holy word, and thank Thee today that we have the eyes to see it, we have the minds to comprehend it, but most importantly, we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit to enable us to hear and understand Thy word and to enable us to grow in grace and the knowledge of Thee. Father, again, we thank Thee for the word, for the living word, Jesus, for the written word, the Bible. Thank Thee for all that Thou dost do for us. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Bible Sabbath is a day to honor God's Word, to acknowledge that the Bible is God's holy Word. And since this is the 500th anniversary of the birth of John Calvin, I thought that we might spend some time thinking about some things that Calvin has said, has written about God's holy Word. Remember, Calvin is the originator, in a sense, of our Reformed faith. We didn't make it up. God used John Calvin to put it into his Institutes of Christian Religion and other publications. Calvin had a very high view of Scripture. Calvin had a very, very, very high view of Scripture. He believed that everything in the Bible is the very Word of God. He believed that this book that we call the Bible is the Word of God for His people. Now, Calvin did not worship Scripture. Some people have made that claim that he worshiped this book, idolized it. But Calvin did not worship the book. He worshiped the God who spoke the words that are in this book. He saw the Bible as the source of his theology. All the reformers had a very high view of Scripture. They taught the concept sola scriptura, Latin phrase suggesting Scripture alone. Calvin, Luther, Theodore Beza, Melanchthon, all of the others said The Bible is the source of our beliefs. The Bible is the Word of God. What we believe as Christians comes solely from God's Word. Solely from God's Word. This was in stark contrast to the church of the Middle Ages. By the time that Luther and Calvin came on the scene, the church had elevated tradition. The writings of men and women, mostly men, had elevated these writings to be equal with Scripture. And in some cases, tradition was considered to be superior to God's Word. Do you take the Word of God over a pope, or is it the other way around? Some people were placing the words of a theologian or a pope over the Word of God. Some of the major teachings of the church of that day were not scriptural. They were not based on God's Word, but upon the whims of men. Purgatory, the selling of indulgences, were two of those things that had been invented by people for a purpose. They're not in Scripture. God doesn't tell us anything about purgatory in Scripture. Nor does He tell us that we need to sell indulgences. Both of these gimmicks were things that had been invented to finance big building programs in the Middle Ages, in the medieval church. The church was building huge cathedrals in London, in Rome, in Paris, in Cologne, Germany, what became Germany. They were building Notre Dame. They were building St. Peter's, St. Paul's in London. Huge structures. They needed money to finance this construction. So people came up with these things like buying a soul out of purgatory, or selling indulgences to gain spiritual blessings. People gave money that went not to God, but it went to building a building. John Calvin believed that Scripture is the very Word of God. As such, it should be the source of all of our beliefs. As the Word of God, Scripture reveals so much about God and about God's Son. Scripture just tells us so much about God and God's Son that we need to read it and study it. Now, Calvin understood that you can see vestiges of God out in creation. You can see knowledge of God in the creation and the beautiful sunrises, the sunsets, in the beautiful trees now that begin to turn as we were coming over from Ellsbury. A little while ago, we noticed so many trees begin to turn, take on various colors of fall. We can see God's hand in the birth of a new baby, the birth of a new animal. But we do not learn fully about God. We can see God there. But you can only learn about God's redeeming grace in the Bible. It's only in Scripture that we read about how much God loves us, that He was willing to send His only Son. It's in the Bible that we read about Jesus coming into the world, being born in the manger in Bethlehem. We read in the Bible about Him growing up and going about testifying for God, healing people, raising the dead, restoring sight to blind eyes, and opening deaf ears. It's only in the Bible that we read about Jesus going to the cross, being nailed to the cross. Why? For the sins of His people. We don't learn that from nature. We don't learn that from beautiful skies at night. We don't learn that from sunrises and sunsets. We learn that from God's holy Word. In his little book, John Calvin and the Passion for the Majesty of Christ, Author John Piper wrote that Calvin had seen the majesty of God in the Scriptures. And this persuaded him that the Scriptures were the very Word of God. In studying the Bible, Calvin kept seeing God. He kept seeing God in the words of Scripture. The more he saw God in Scripture, the more he learned about God's saving grace. You know, the more we learn about God, the more we learn about what God has done for us. We learn how God loves us with a love that cannot be measured in human terms. Piper says that Calvin learned this by reading and studying God's Word. It didn't come to him in a dream. He didn't go wandering around out in the desert like Mohammed did, supposedly getting his contacts with God or some other character. Calvin got his beliefs from reading and studying God's Word. Piper quotes Calvin as saying, quote, "We owe to Scripture the same reverence that we owe to God, because it has proceeded from Him alone, has nothing of man mixed within it," end quote. In other words, we owe Scripture reverence. We owe Scripture reverence because it is God speaking to us. God doesn't take a PA system and bellow out words to us. He's given us this book we call the Bible. God is speaking to us. I think we need to remind ourselves again that Calvin did not worship the Bible. He worshiped the God who had given these holy scriptures, the God who had inspired their writing, the God who guided Moses to write down the first five books of the Bible, the God who inspired David to write the Psalms, some of which have been sung this afternoon. The same God inspired Peter to write his letters. The same God inspired John to write his gospel, his letters, and the Revelation. Calvin did not worship the Scriptures, but he worshiped the God who inspired the Scriptures. Those with a high view of Scripture have often been criticized for worshiping Scripture. I've heard it again and again, or read it, that those of you fundamentalists, fanatics, or whatever they call us, who believe that the Bible is the Word of God, you must worship those books. You must worship the type, the letters on those pages. No, we worship the God who inspired those words. On the other side of the coin, you have people with a low view of Scripture. There are people who pastor churches, who preach and teach, supposedly, in churches, who say that the Bible is not the Word of God. It's the Word of some Jews from long ago who lived 2,000-3,000 years ago. They're dead and gone now. Some pious people wrote down Genesis and Revelation and all the other books. Calvin would say that's baloney. God wrote these words. He inspired the human writers. They wrote just as God breathed into them His holy word. Calvin would argue that it is only in the sacred scriptures that a person gains a real understanding of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Piper goes on to say that Calvin's understanding of Scripture led to the conclusion that he must be constant in his exposition of Scripture. Calvin was almost a fanatic on this. He spent a great deal of time studying God's Word. He didn't just pick it up when he had nothing else to do. He studied God's Word continually. He studied God's Word so that he could better explain it to his hearers and his readers. Calvin had a twofold audience. He preached all the time. He preached, it seemed like constantly preaching. He preached a great deal, but he wrote many, many things. Calvin wrote numerous tracts on the Christian faith. Back in the Middle Ages, you didn't have magazines like Christianity Today or World Magazine. You didn't have the Billy Graham's publication. I forget its name right at the moment. But you didn't have a whole lot of magazines. So people produced what were called tracts on Scripture, on theology, and various other things. Calvin wrote a number of these. It's often been said that Martin Luther took the newly invented printing press and used it to great service. True. But Calvin followed Luther's example. Not only did Calvin produce tracts, but he produced a number of other things like commentaries. Calvin produced a commentary on every book of the New Testament except Revelation. Luther, you remember, produced a commentary on every book of the New Testament but James. You can ask Marcus why when he gets back. That'll be something that you can give him a quiz when he gets back. Calvin wrote these commentaries. He wrote commentaries on 9 of the Old Testament books. I believe he might have written other commentaries, but he died. God took him home in 1564. Calvin wrote other things. He wrote the Institutes of the Christian Religion. Early in his ministry, Calvin began writing things down. When I talk about Calvin writing, I want you to remember he wasn't using a big pen. He wasn't using a bank pen. He was using what? A quill. He was using probably a feather that was dipped in the ink constantly. Dink, dink. Can you imagine what it was like writing a book? Constantly having to dip the end of that feather, that quill, into a bottle of ink. Calvin began writing this Institutes of the Christian Religion. He produced this thing, this monumental work on theology. But as time went on, he said that's not enough. He revised it 3 times before he died. If he hadn't died, he might have revised it again. But Calvin produced these major works. In addition, he preached sermons. It's been estimated that Calvin often preached 10 sermons every 2 weeks. 10 sermons. Can you imagine preparing 10 sermons? Not homilies, not little devotionals that say, I'm okay, you're okay, God loves you, and stuff like that. But real expositions of God's Word, where he dug deeply in the Scripture to understand what God was saying there. Calvin prepared sermon after sermon after sermon. These have been recorded, and you can buy the books today. You can buy books of Calvin's sermons, as well as his commentaries in his Institutes of the Christian Religion. I was reading one writer the other day that said that Calvin is read more than most any other Christian writer except the Bible. Calvin believed that a sermon should be an exposition of Scripture. And no doubt he would not be pleased with ministers today who like to preach topical sermons or homilies, popular type sermons. When you look at some of the suggestions that are often given to ministers, how to preach sermons, you know, there you can buy all kinds of books, all kinds of helps to prepare teach you how to prepare sermons or to guide you in preparing sermons. You can find people saying, well, you ought to have an Easter sermon, you ought to have a Christmas sermon, you ought to have Palm Sunday sermons. You can have not just one Christmas sermon, you can have a whole bunch leading up to Christmas all December. They also say you can have special sermons for Mother's Day, Father's Day, Grandparents' Day, for Race Relations Day, for Stewardship Sunday, for College Day, and on and on and on and on. If you tried to follow the calendar suggestions, you wouldn't have time for anything else much. In a brief article on preaching the Reverend, this is from R.C. Sproul's Table Talk, but the Reverend Terry Johnson notes that the Reformers restored the practice of the early church of preaching through the books of the Bible. Johnson notes that the church of the first five centuries, followed the example of the synagogues in preaching through the whole Word of God, the Bible. But he also notes that medieval preachers had gotten away from this. They liked topical sermons. And they had all of these saints. They had to have a message on all these. How many saints are there? Thousands. They had all kinds of things to build a sermon on except the Word of God. And Johnson says that reformers like John Calvin and Martin Luther said, let's go back to the early days of the church. Let's follow the example of Jesus and Peter and Paul and John and preach through the Bible. Since the Bible is the Word of God, the Reformers believed that everybody should read and study the Bible. Do you know what the Reformers did for the education process? During the Middle Ages, very few people could read and write. Reading and writing was only for the elite, for the royalty, for those who may have been called into the priesthood and a few other professions. Most people could not read and write. And when you went to church on Sunday morning, the preacher, the priest, would read from a book that sounded like gibberish because he was reading from a Latin translation of the Bible. And then he would preach in Latin. And how many people in the Middle Ages understood Latin? About as many as understand it today. I better be careful saying that because Latin's coming back in some schools. But Latin was the language of both the Bible and preaching in the Middle Ages. And Calvin and Luther said, that doesn't work. People cannot hear, understand. They go there and hear these words, but it doesn't make any sense. It's in some foreign language. And if you pick up a Bible, any chance of being able to read, it's in some foreign language. So Calvin and Luther both were involved in Bible translations. Luther translated the Bible into his native German. Everybody in Germany could then read his Bible if they could read and write. Calvin, on the other hand, translated the Bible into French. He was a native from France. And in Switzerland, Geneva, you can speak German or French. Anyway, Calvin was so concerned about people being able to read God's Word. He began an academy to teach people. This school, this academy that Calvin began in Geneva had two aspects to it. One was a seminary type arrangement where men were trained to be ministers of the gospel. The other part of the school was a basic education teaching people to read and write, to do arithmetic and all of that other good stuff. This school began small, but it soon took off because people said, hey, we can go to that school and learn. We can learn things to read and write. Calvin said, well, here's my Bible in French. You learn to read and write, and then you can read the Bible in French, the French translation. And so Calvin would encourage people to read and study the Bible. He also wrote his publications, his institutes. He wrote his commentaries, not in Latin, as was common of that day, but in French. He wrote them in French. Interesting. A friend of mine has been, over the last couple of years, has produced two volumes of Calvin's sermons. This guy taught French for his career at Clemson University in South Carolina. He was a French teacher, and he has been translating Calvin's sermons into English. They're being printed and published today. A new volume came out early in the summer, back in June. Calvin wanted people to read and study the Bible. And that's a message for us today. To read and study. Calvin believed that every person, every Christian, should study God's Word. Be personally involved in studying God's Word. Why? So that you can grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He put forth a teaching called the priesthood of all believers. Calvin believed that all of us, every man, woman, and child, should be able to read God's Word himself or herself. Maybe you can't read the Greek or Hebrew, but you can read English. And how many translations, how many versions of English do we have today? You see, we can read God's Word and learn about Jesus. Learn about Jesus and the faith that we professed. Well, we don't have time to go into every aspect of Calvin's teachings on Scripture. But I think we can summarize Calvin's views on Scripture with a quote from R.C. Sproul. Sproul wrote recently about, quote, above all things, Calvin sought to be true to the Word of God, end quote. Is that a message for us? Shouldn't we seek to be true to God's Word? Shouldn't we make this the most important book that's in our libraries? A book that we read, that if Marcus shows up in the house, we don't have to blow a ton of dust off of it, but we can say, here, preacher, read from God's Word. I read it, and I want you to read it, too. Or maybe you want to fox him and hand him a Greek New Testament and say, read this. Or a Hebrew Old Testament. Shouldn't God's Word be the most important book in your life? Shouldn't you want to read and study God's Word? All of us, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, should want to read and study His Word to learn more about Jesus and the faith that we professed. We're not going to have a test. God's not going to test us on what we've read in Scripture. But He wants us to read His Word and learn from it. Learn from it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again and again that we can come together this afternoon and worship Thee, that we can think about Thy Holy Word and how important it is for us. We know, Father, it is not just a book. It is Thy Word. Thy Holy Word. It is a guide to thy people to help us live life, to live a life that is in accord with thy will. So, Father God, help us to resolve to be students of thy word, to read and study thy word, to learn more about Jesus and the faith that we have professed. When we become Christians, we don't learn at all, Father. We know that we need to constantly study, read and study thy word. Thank thee again for the living word, Jesus, who did the impossible, who paid the price for us, who died and rose again to give us life. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank thee again and again for thy many blessings. We pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.